Ladies and gentlemen, Memphis Wrestling is back.
Catch all the action every Saturday at high noon right here on CW30 Memphis.
This episode is brought to you by Spunk Lube. Spunk Lube is the perfect blend of water and silicone. It is an all-purpose personal lubricant that can be used for any occasion. You will love the natural feeling and look of it. It is safe for sensitive skin. Go to spunklube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shiznit sent you.
You didn't know? Well, your ass better. Well, you better tell someone. Tell someone about STSPod.club. Tell them now. Call them. Text them. Tell them. Telegram. Send them video messages. Whatever. Tell them.
All the Right Notes, the first book by Twitter influencer Lance Levine. It's a wild ride down a path of musical adventure that recaps many random run-ins with rock royalty, such as U2, Slash, The Ramones, The Goo Goo Dolls, and many more. And all the crazy occurrences that have happened to him that trace back to music. All the Right Notes is 209 pages, sure to bring a smile to your face and to remind you how much music has probably touched your life as well.
All the Right Notes, available now on Amazon in paperback for $14.99 and on Kindle for all you tech warriors for $9.99. Also at local Chicago bookstores, as well as Rolling Stone Records on Harlem and Irving. If you can't find it, ask for it by name. All the Right Notes by Lance Levine. And I have been told I could not put it down. I read it all in one day. So order it now and see what all the fuss is about.
Ryan Trammell, Rhino JB, rolling into Memphis on ChampionshipWrestlingMemphis.com.
Five, four, three, two, one. Are we doing this? Wait for it. Wait for it. Pow! It's time for What the Fuck. Every first episode of the month, Brian and Lance look over the crazy wrestling and MMA stories of the month. Welcome, What the Fuckers, What the Fuck Buddies, What the Fucking Ears, What the Fuck Nicks, What the Fuck Yourselves, What the Fuck Nuts, and whatever the fuck you want to call yourself. That's right, guys. This is What the Fuck for It. Wait for it. Here's Brian and Lance.
We're live from STS Studio. Jonesboro, Arkansas, with What the Fuck? What the Fuck for February 2021. How the hell are you, Lance?
WTF News Desk here at the Popeye's Cajun Flounder Studios here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's right. And so we are in Lent, and so we're having those Popeye's Cajun Flounder sandwiches nationwide. So we are
awesome.
Yet another insane month for us from the WTF News Desk. I swear.
It's the month. Sit back, guys. Enjoy this one. It's even, I want to remind everybody, if you're a Patreon member, and I'm going to tell you something right before we leave the Facebook Live, we have a contest coming up, and it's something to do with Patreon. But
can they win? People can win?
Big time.
Oh,
honorable,
nice.
Honorable mention. We do a show called Honorable Mentions. Me and you just bullshit about the other stories and how we come up with so much stuff. We do that. Only Patreon gets to listen to that. I want to say thank you to everybody. The final numbers are in as of yesterday or at the beginning of the last day of February. We're 96% more listens overall than last year. So it's crazy because we talked about Facebook Live and it helps everyone see us here and then they go and listen to podcasts. We thank you for that. We also have an official email and phone number for the podcast, so you can email us questions or you can call and leave a voicemail. Now, we got plans for this, so we want to play them. We want to talk about them. We want to laugh. We may do a whole show. We may do clips. But, man, the phone number is – I should have put it on the screen. But it's 501-232-1701. It's 501-232-1701. Leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Or you can email us with any questions, stspodclub@gmail.com.
Because we're gonna venture into the mail sack, aren't we?
Yep, mail sack. Yeah, that was the one that I liked, by the way. And a big thank you for all the people that joined us on Saturday for rolling into Mempo every Saturday right here on Facebook Live and YouTube. Y'all just search for us, and then actually Dustin also puts it up. So we already got a fan base for that. I hate to say fan, but that's what we got. Fan base for that.
Listeners.
It'll keep rolling. And me and Lance have talked about some things. I'll use Dustin's phrase. We got some big news before the end of the year, guys. It will be fun, and you can actually come out and see us. So we'll talk about that when it gets closer to the day.
Looking forward to that.
All right. Let's get going, buddy.
So, all right, man. Yeah, we are overflowing with stories, and we got a lot of MMA this time. So this one's going to be very 50-50, wrestling and MMA. But as we always start with the stipulation match at number 10, we're going back out to Japan, Brian, of course. February 7th, the Yukimori Natural Hot Springs Pro Wrestling card from Kumamoto Castle. The Extreme DDT title was defended. It was a three-way Ironman match that went 55 falls, for crying out loud. Good 55 God. Falls. So people complain about matches in the States. This thing went 55 falls. So Shunma Katsumata, he won 25 falls. So he took the title, the Extreme title, from Sanshiro Takagi, who had 24 falls. And then I don't even know how to say this. Batten Burra Burra had 6 falls. So it was a three-way one. It went like most of the falls. It was ridiculous. Most of the falls went like 30 seconds to a minute. So the whole thing was about 45 minutes long. So it was just ridiculous. There were certain finishes like the water torture attack, the elbow self-destruct, the electric shock from the electric bathtub, and a cold shower attack. So some of the funnier aspects of it, the ref kept score he was writing on his arm to keep score of the falls. At one point, Katsumata submitted in a fall when they used soap on his head instead of shampoo. And he submitted because of that, because, you know, you can't have soap on your hair.
No.
Takagi put a shower head in Burra Burra's mouth and turned it on, and he won a fall on that. And then the 25th fall that Katsumata won was in the final minute of the match. And of course, another highlight was they brawled into the women's bathroom. So there were men in the women's bathroom. So of course, so that is our stip match at number 10, sir.
Surprise, surprise, DDT. You know, we talked about this. Ed said something about this on Twitter. Ed, one of our Patreon members, you're going to have a chance to win something. We appreciate everything you do, Ed. But we got to find a complete DDT show and set and bring all the Patreon people in here and us set and watch it and
do a watch along.
That would be fun. That would be really fun.
So, all right, at number 9, we have our MMA special report. So, we had to put everything together in one number here because we got Gina Carano, we got Paige VanZant, we got Leonardo Barbosa, Abu Azitar is back, and Rafael Alves. So we'll start with Gina Carano. Fired from her plum deal at Disney on February 10th, she is terminated from her lead role as one of the characters in The Mandalorian, a Star Wars television show on Disney Plus, for comparing today's U.S. to Nazi Germany and for past transgressions on her part in transphobic comments, as it were. The election was rigged. The election was stolen from us and so on. So I'm thinking, Gina Carano, maybe just shut up, because believe what you want to believe, but when you cost yourself a 7-figure salary from Disney, losing a fortune on like action figures that were going to come out and things like that, come on, idiot, shut up. Just shut up. Talk privately, if you believe certain things. So another fallout of that was that let's see, Ariel Helwani, the UFC reporter, called her out on the comments because he's Jewish, and Meltzer also, I believe, is Jewish. So the funny thing is, Dana White calls Helwani a douche, and then Dave calls Dana White a douche. So I thought, I just got a kick out of all the douchery going on with those guys. So do you want to comment on...
At least I didn't call him a cunt.
That's specified just for me. That's reserved for me. So, all right. So we'll move on. Do you want to recap all of them
the
after
the... The only thing I want to say about that is, and you know how I feel about this snowflake bullshit and everybody's canceled. You're right. You're 100% right. You got to know what to say. But I will go down fighting, defending her right to say what the fuck she wants to say, whether I agree with it or whether she should have kept her mouth shut. I just hate it that all of a sudden they can do one thing and you are canceled. And I'm just like, oh man, come on, give it a break. You know,
I don't know that that's going to change anytime soon.
No, I don't think it will.
Anyway, all right, second on our MMA stories is Paige VanZant, the beautiful Paige VanZant, losing her debut fight to Britt Hart. I don't know if it is Britt the Hitman Hart or what, but it was in Lakeland, Florida, February 5th. She loses her debut fight in BKFC, the Bare Knuckle Fighting Organization, whatever it's called. She loses a decision in the main event. Afterwards, she looked a little beat up. I mean, she didn't look terrible, but she tweeted, "I'm Paige motherfucking VanZant." So she can do what she wants, and she doesn't want to hear from criticism and critics that are saying she shouldn't be doing bare knuckles. So the funny part to me was afterwards, this Britt Hart was being interviewed, and she gets interrupted by a Jenny Savage, and there's water thrown, and there's all kinds of shit, you know, there's all kinds of brawling going on. So this was at Knuckle Mania. That was the name of the show, Knuckle Mania. And Britt Hart, who, you know, responded to this Jenny Savage jumping at her, says, "I thought it was some random ass prostitute." I thought that was another great line. So great fallout. They're going to get me to watch this thing.
What was it called?
It was called Knuckle Mania.
You know, I had with Spunk Lube, we've done the five-figure Knuckle Mania.
Yeah. With Moose, or is the wife aware of this?
Yeah.
That's it. So, all right. Next MMA story is lightweight Leonardo Barbosa admits to throwing a fight in Kabul, Afghanistan on February 11th. So he loses to Ahmed Wahi Hotak in the TGFC. No idea what it stands for, but TGFC. So Barbosa claims that he saw a gun. He saw a guy in the locker room yelling and screaming at him with a gun and in a foreign language. So he didn't know what the guy was screaming at him about. So then he goes out to do his fight, spots the guy in the audience very close to the cage and taps out because he doesn't want to get shot. He's afraid he's going to get shot. So this was just bizarre. He acknowledging after the fight and after he scrambled to get the hell out of Afghanistan that he tapped out just to end the fight so he doesn't get killed. So bizarre story there. He's claiming he will consider going back and doing a rematch, but hopefully in another location. So he doesn't want to see this guy in the locker room again. So just the admission of throwing a fight was bizarre.
That's to me, you know, it's like one of those things. I seen it and I was like, Kayfabe, yeah. Don't tell what the hell happened, you know?
He acknowledged it because he didn't want to get killed. So, all right, last month's cat burglar that we talked about, Abu Azatar, getting a second chance by Dana White on February 20th. Dana gives him a second chance. No explanation whatsoever. This is the guy who did the whole cat burglar thing where he gave the other guy his bracelet, his security bracelet, to get into the hotel room, scale the walls of the hotel, and climb into the patio or whatever. So for whatever reason, Dana giving him a second chance despite the security breach. And of course, Azatar's manager claims it was all a big misunderstanding. I'm like, you gave the guy your security thing? And he climbed up the wall in the hotel. That was a misunderstanding. Okay, whatever. So, and then finally, Rafael Alves, UFC lightweight, or I'm sorry, featherweight, misses weight on February 13th, forcing them to fight the fight to be canceled, blaming it on bad salmon. Mm-hmm. So he says he ate bad salmon, got diarrhea and vomited, and had to drink a lot of water and therefore could not lose weight. So I'm thinking, is Randy Orton, has he been eating bad salmon too? Because he keeps puking on Raw.
That's it. I think that's what it is. I love this excuse, but I think he doesn't know the way you're supposed to do this. All he had to do was say, "My bad," and it would be okay.
It's usually the tainted supplement. Like, I didn't know what was in that supplement. So it's a tainted supplement. So I've seen tainted meat before as one of the other reasons for failing on drug tests, but tainted salmon. So now the salmon is at fault. So, all right. At number eight, also overflowing is our crime blotter this month. So we're starting with, we have Brian Caraway. We've got Joey Ryan, Daniel Strauss, Alexa Bliss, and Teddy Hart. Although Alexa Bliss is more of a victim. So, as opposed to the rest of these people. So, we got Brian Caraway, Misha Tate's ex, was arrested on, this is the most complicated, bizarre, convoluted story. February 11th, he's arrested and charged with four felonies over allegedly stealing an ATV, all-terrain vehicle, which may or may not have been his, may or may not have been Misha Tate's. So, he had been put on Washington's most wanted list over this. I'm like, how good
really?
Is the crime?
Yeah.
How good is the crime scene in the state of Washington that this makes him Washington's most wanted?
Wait, no, he did allegedly. He did allegedly strangle her to take the ATV from her. Right. So that might be part of it.
So maybe, yeah. There's more
here's
to
a
it.
Here was the funny thing. You're probably going to mention this, but I'm gonna get it before. Is that he stole it on two separate occasions in a 2 week span?
Yep.
So there we go. He stole it. They got it back, and he stole it again. So
he was charged with forgery, theft, false insurance claims, and et cetera. So he's saying his ATV, he basically insured his ATV in 2018, and then it got stolen 3 days later. So that's already pretty shady. So, but then there was all kinds of claims of forged paperwork. It's really her ATV, and he changed the name on it to his. So there's the investigation is showing that there was surveillance cameras that show he stole the ATV, then returned it and stole it again from her. So just the whole thing is all weird and fucked up. And then another side note, his brother is also charged with an insurance fraud situation with a vehicle. So I'm thinking these guys are like, the brother was probably the first one who did it and said, hey, Brian, I got a good deal for you. Let's do this. You know, I figured out this good scam. You should do it too. So the brothers Caraway in some hot water in Washington. So Joey Ryan, it's a brief mention this time. Three of the 27,000 lawsuits that he's filed against people were thrown out on February 10th. Judge Michael Fitzgerald threw out three of his lawsuits claiming he failed to follow through on them. So I don't know if that meant he didn't provide enough information or he
probably
missed a
did.
Deadline
or whatever. Know, there's just a process. He's probably decided, you know what? I'm not going to give any spoilers, but Joey's already made March is what the fuck.
Yep. We already
he
got
made
the list going.
March
yeah.
today. Yeah. So go
he
ahead.
Might,
yeah.
He might knock Teddy Hart out from the most mentioned guy in this year. So, all right. Bellator's Daniel Strauss arrested on February 5th for stabbing his girlfriend. We're not sure if it's significant other, whatever. So they're arguing via text. He goes to her work to harass her. They skirmish, and then he leaves in her car. I'm like, how fucked up is that? He gets in her car and drives away. That's fucked up, dude. You should not, you know, that's already bad. So then she goes to his place to get her key to make sure that he can't get into her place. So, and then she confronts him there and says, what are you going to do, stab me? And he stabs her. I'm like, okay, not funny. Domestic abuse, not funny at all. But the fact that she gets all arrogant and cocky and says that, and then he turns around and fucking stabs her. I'm like, just fucking weird. Lock him up. Alexa Bliss in the news because she has a Sonya Deville-esque stalker on Twitter harassing her and her fiance, Ryan Cabrera. This freak is posting on Twitter that he's going to go to her house. He's not a troll. He loves Alexa. And he's going to get rid of that piece of shit, Ryan Cabrera. And then he ends the tweet with hashtag let me in. I'm like, oh, dude, this guy needs some help. Keep him away from her. Lock him up now because something bad is going to happen to one of these people from this guy. And then finally, Teddy Hart back in jail. Reminds me of Tammy Sitch. I feel like that's the only place these people are safe is in jail. So Teddy Hart back in jail. February 10th, arrested and held in Tarrant County, Texas for possession, evading arrest, and, quote, injuring a child / elderly / disabled person. So my question is, who did he injure? A child, somebody elderly, or disabled? Because I'm
it
like,
must
none
be
of them
the
are...
same law. Yeah, it must be the same law. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So I'm like, none of them are any good, obviously. It's all bad if he's guilty of it. But did he beat up a kid, an old person, or a disabled person? I'm like, Teddy Hart, man, you need some help. So that is our massive overflowing crime blotter in February.
you know, we mentioned Teddy a lot, and the bad thing is that it makes me wonder when when back in the day, Meltzer would say Teddy Hart's gone. How much shit was Teddy Hart doing when we didn't even really know what he was doing? Right, now with social media, we know everything. Here's a guy had the biggest comeback story ever, but you know, it's a lot like you know, in a movie. Movie stars and people like that, they have a big comeback and then they fall again. I hate it. Here's what we've always said.
Very talented Teddy guy. Hart. Hope he gets his shit together.
Right there. And it just is, it has happened in very small spurts. And when it does, he's very, very talented. But you can't hire a guy. You know, when you just look at this report, you can't hire a guy like that. Yeah.
I mean, he's never going to get hired by, can you imagine WWE hiring this guy?
No,
NXT or anybody, any of the other groups. I mean, this guy's going to be, hopefully, like I said, hopefully he gets his shit together, because I sure don't want to hear about a story where he's a statistic, you know, at the end of the day. So anyway, we make fun of him because he does silly, stupid shit. So, all right, number seven, Austin Aries holds a meet and greet and die. So at a fan gathering called the Wrestling Universe, February 21st in Queens, New York. So very recently, Austin Aries is at a meet and greet there with the fans. He announces he will not be wearing a mask. And he tells the fans that pose in pictures with him that he wants them to drop their masks too. And he doesn't want to take pictures with fans unless the masks are off. So he's charging $25 a picture, $40 to get it signed. I'm assuming the COVID was a gift with purchase. That was just a throw in for free afterwards. So Austin Aries continuing his ridiculous, like, talking about the COVID is a hoax nonsense.
He does come off as one of those guys that just but I'm gonna tell you, my dad used to say something about he's too smart for his own good. Does that make sense to you? He's too smart. This is a very intelligent man. I want you to know that Austin is a very intelligent man
for sure.
But he don't know when to keep his mouth shut, in the sense, if you say so, he thinks that he knows everything about this virus and blah, blah, blah. And why the fuck would I want to pay to stand next to him when I won't even stand next to a total stranger, anybody, without my mask on? I'm not going to go out and do this, but he's pretty much telling you, I'm not wearing my mask and you're not wearing yours. Don't get pictures, guys. Whatever you do, don't get pictures.
Hopefully the meet and greet and die is not something that becomes a trend for us wrestling fans. So, all right, at number six, we have the urinal brawl. This is nobody that you know, but still it involves wrestling and MMA. So, well, mainly MMA. So this is a video that went viral February 16th. A brawl breaks out in a men's room at the University of Oklahoma. And my first thought, as soon as I heard that, my first thought is, by God, that man's got a family, you know. Turns out one of the brawling dudes is an MMA fighter, Walker Brown, and he's beating on an Oklahoma University of Oklahoma wide receiver, Spencer Jones, amidst the urinals. So you're seeing this footage in a men's room, and they're slamming each other all over the place, around the urinals, around the toilets and everything. There's a Saito suplex in the bathroom. One guy, like say, Walker tears his bicep. Jones says he nearly loses an eye. So Brown, who's the MMA fighter, starts a GoFundMe to help pay for his bills. So I think my favorite part about the whole thing is the country bumpkin that's recording it on his phone is doing commentary. So it's almost as good as if it was JR doing the commentary, because he says, guillotine, rear naked choke, tap out, motherfucker, all with this great Southern accent. So I was just loving it. A guy gets suplexed into a bathroom stall door. So the whole thing was hilarious. I hope the one guy didn't lose his eye, but the brawl itself was just classic stuff in the urinals. Always entertaining for me.
Yes. I got experience with fighting in a bathroom. I want to tell you that. So
was it the ladies' room?
No. I'm sitting there. I'm at the urinal, and some kid. Wait, I guess I need to tell
people.
You
weren't sitting at the urinal.
This is when I was 10th grade. So the kid pushes me into the urinal so that, you know, I kind of touch the urinal. So I chase him on a bus. I grab him by the neck, and the principal gets us off the bus. And this is the last day of school before summer. So the principal tells me and him, the first day of school, y'all going to be suspended and get a paddling and blah, blah, blah. So the whole summer I had to sit and wake up in the morning and think, oh, hell, I'm going to get a spanking. I'm going to get suspended. And then he ignored us the whole time. He didn't even act like we'd done it. So totally I was still, yeah.
Totally so forgot. I always said, if you're a pickpocket, the best place to go is the urinals because you can push the guy in. He doesn't know what the fuck to do, and you grab his wallet and you run out the bathroom. So, I mean, I don't know if that's how this started, but anyway, watch out when you're at the urinals, gentlemen. If things open up again, watch out for your wallets. That's what I say.
All right. Before we go get off of Facebook Live, I want to tell everyone about a contest we're having. We got three episodes, y'all. Three episodes this weekend. It's going to be a three-day weekend. You can have an episode on Saturday, Sunday.
A three-way weekend? Is that what you said?
Three-day.
I thought you said three-way. I'm sorry.
I got excited. I know Eric's going to be with us. Don't get excited. So Saturday, it's going to be me and Rhino JB. On Sunday, it's going to be me, you, and at least Eric, there may be some other people to do Dynamite. And then on Monday, a new episode of your show, The Record Store. So that's what we're doing next week. But here's what you got to do. You got to join Patreon. It's only $3, guys. Anyone that's a Patreon member, we're going to reach in the hat, put everybody's name. And here's what you win. Okay. Look at this. Young Bucks Funko Pop. That's the team. Young Bucks. That's STS Pod t-shirt. We're going to send you a t-shirt. We're going to send you a Manscaped t-shirt. We're going to send you Spunk Lube. We're going to send you a wrestling mask. And we're going to send you, Lance, you're going to love this, a copy of Lance's book. That's right. Over $100 worth of merchandise. And all you got to be is a Patreon member for the month of March. All right, guys.
The Funko Pop alone is worth the $3. You know,
there you go.
$3. Even okay, a year's worth at $3, $36. The Funko Pop alone is worth that. Let alone the book and all the other great stuff. Yeah, exactly. So you got to sign up for this, guys. Do it.
We will be right back after our commercials with 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, Memphis Wrestling is back.
Catch all the action every Saturday at High Noon right here on CW30 Memphis.
This episode is brought to you by Spunk Lube. Spunk Lube is the perfect blend of water and silicone. It is an all-purpose personal lubricant that can be used for any occasion. You will love the natural feeling and look of it. It is safe for sensitive skin. Go to spunklube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shiznit sent you.
This episode is also sponsored by Manscaped.com. That's right. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code STSPOD. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped.com with promo code STSPOD.
This local access message is brought to you by Uber Eats.
Hey everyone, welcome to Wayne's World.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. As a local access show, we want everyone to support local restaurants.
But we'd never manipulate you the way all these other commercials do.
Oh God. Shaw, that's really sad.
Totally. We're better than that.
Yeah, we'd never shamelessly rely on a celebrity cameo.
Right, Cardi B?
Yeah, eat local.
Or jump on the latest trend.
Eat local. Local.
All right.
Local eats. Wings World. Yummy time. Excellent.
That's right, free delivery for selected local businesses on Uber Eats. If you use the code EATS-BRIANT247900UE, that's EATS-BRIANT247900UE. BrianT2479UE. You share that code, I'm sharing it with you. You get $20 off a $25 order, and $10 kickback comes to us here at Shooting the Shiznit. Use Uber Eats now!
Brian Trammell, Rhino JB, rolling into Memphis on ChampionshipWrestlingMemphis.com.
All right, back from our sponsors. We do appreciate that, guys. I got a shout out a brand new Patreon member, David Owens, D-O-R. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us. You got any shout outs there, Lance?
I'm going to send a quick shout out to my guy, Bruce Mitchell, just because he helps make the 3-hour broadcast of Raw every Monday night more acceptable and tolerable to get through that show. So thank you, Bruce, for exchanging some text during the show and tweets during the show to make the show a little bit more watchable. So last night was a real chore too.
We're still in negotiation with Bruce. Bruce is going to come on and do some shows with us. He's been on vacation, but he is going to before the end of the year. So let's get started. We got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. At 5, where it always is as smut, it's social media uproar time. So we've got, let's see, who are our stars this month in social media shit? It's Bad Bunny, Mick Foley, Mrs. Jericho, and the aforementioned Casey Catanzaro. So we'll start with Bad Bunny. You got more on this. I want you to expand on this. So he wins the 24/7 title. He brings it to Saturday Night Live, gets him all kinds of good publicity with that. He's obviously gearing up to have him appear at WrestleMania. So big month for him, good PR for WWE associating with him. But I particularly don't like him. I don't like his music. I don't like the guy. Just seems like an annoying pain in the ass. So what was the story? Like, it blew up on social media that if you don't like him, you're therefore racist?
You are racist if you don't like
automatically,
him. Automatically. I don't like his – I'm not a huge fan of his music. I can't understand it. Not that I haven't listened to rap before that I couldn't understand. I'm just saying. And part of it is for you to say – because he's Puerto Rican, you don't like him. No, we don't like, there's very,
the music is crap. I think you the don't music like is crap.
Yeah. I like rap to a certain extent, but right. I'm an old school rap guy and don't listen to a lot of the new stuff. But here's the thing about Bad Bunny.
I'm not racist. Taylor Swift. I don't like Taylor Swift. She's white. Am I racist there too? I like Alicia Keys. Am I not racist? Because I don't get the accusation on the internet of you're racist if you don't like Bad Bunny. No, I just think it sucks. I don't like Enzo, as we've already established.
Did you see, though, that his T-shirt sales went through the roof?
Everybody bought one because
he has a crossover audience. He's got WWE fans, and then he's got, you know, the fans of the rap of that rap album. He got one of them rap albums. But, you know, I don't got anything against Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny, you know, get your money and do what you want to. But don't tell me a racist if I don't like his music. Exactly. Fuck you.
All right. Mick Foley. We have Mick Foley making an appearance on Smut because he accidentally tweets. He was congratulating Paul White for signing with AEW, the big show. FKA, the big show. He was congratulating him. And instead of tagging the tweet, just, you know, at symbol AEW, he tags it at AEW ING 4CBEATH. I'm like, what the fuck is all that? So it turns out that is the account of a woman who is a member, Annabelle Ewing, who is a member AE, there's her initials, is a member of the Scottish Parliament. And so she starts getting, because, you know, Mick Foley is huge. She starts on these tweets. She starts getting thousands of likes and comments towards her. And so Mick later apologizes for his blunder. But my favorite part of this whole thing is, like, the people who create the memes and the internet stuff where it says Annabelle Ewing is all elite. And they do that picture, you know, anytime they sign somebody. They show this, like, this older, you know, plain white lady that is in Scottish Parliament. And they show Annabelle Ewing is all elite. So the whole thing was a hilarious blunder on his part. So Mrs. Jericho, we have Jessica Irvine, who is better known as Mrs. Chris Jericho, post pictures of her in Washington at the Capitol riots in Washington, D.C. in January. So she posts the pictures on Instagram with her friends in February. They're holding a pink Women for Trump sign, and she catches, they both catch all kinds of flack for that. So bad choice of pictures, as we've said before.
Very much so.
don't know that you'd want to publicize that. So, and then we wrap up with Casey Catanzaro deleting her Twitter on February 14th, Valentine's Day, following uproar over her pics and video of her at dinner at a restaurant in Orlando with no mask, and nobody around her has masks on, and the restaurant is packed. The whole thing. Oh. I mean, it just was ill-advised at best for them to be in this restaurant, which is packed, and none of them have masks. They're all like, it's a big restaurant. It wasn't like socially distanced or anything. There were tables upon tables. So she addresses it. She apologizes. She explains that, you know, they were following precautions. They get tested all the time. But by that point, it was too late. The IWC lost their fucking minds. Somebody at Charlotte Empire, which will tell you pretty much where their mindset is. So at Charlotte Empire made sure to post the video of them in this packed restaurant. So she deletes her Twitter because she doesn't want to deal with all this bullshit from you people.
I don't get, you know, we talked about the mask pretty much and try not to do any kind of politics whatsoever, but I'm a diabetic. I'm 54 years old. I'm wearing a mask, and we've seen this, and if you watch Japanese wrestling, we've seen it for years, and the reason that people wear masks is to keep from making other people sick. That's how easy it is to explain it. If the Japanese people have, if they're sneezing or they're coughing, now this is 20, 30 years. They've been doing this forever. They put a mask on. So it's silly. We can do restaurants here, but they have tables, there's like three or four tables separating us. We have to wear a mask in, and when we leave, you pretty much wait until you get a drink or get your food before you take the mask off.
Right.
But that's what they're doing here. But it's not back-to-back, butt-to-butt. I think, you know, Chris Jericho, speaking of him, where he was at and did the big rally, should be what happens when there's, you know, or the church gatherings or whatever that they do where there's you see seven people and blah, blah, blah. Just real quick on Jessica, the thing with, Women for Trump, you know, I don't care who you vote for, but she, I don't know if she wanted to just put that out there to say, hey, I did it, you know, and Jericho has gave money for Trump, and I don't care. I don't care who he gives money for.
Right.
That's up to him. But this is one of those photos, and we talked about this before about the nude photos, but this is a photo that, hey, it would have been best for you. Just don't say nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, just don't say nothing at all. So
follow the Gina Carano principle there. So
yes, yes, very much so.
All right. At number four, we have Kevin Kroom bangs hookers. So UFC featherweight Kevin Kroom has a September win overturned because of a positive test for weed by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So he had taken this fight on short notice. He admitted that he had smoked weed to UFC. UFC said, okay, no problem. We'll take, you know, we need somebody to fill into this fight. So his beef ends up being with the Nevada State Athletic Commission because he had the decision overturned. So his quote was, how can I bang a hooker here and not smoke weed and fist fight? What the fuck? This is garbage. So first off, I say thank you to Kevin Kroom for publicizing this show. He said, WTF, this is garbage.
That's right. Yeah, thank you very much, sir.
I love the fact that he acknowledges, how can I bang a hooker and not smoke weed? How not fair is this? So, and in a follow-up, that fight was in September. Follow-up, he lost last weekend by decision on Saturday in Nevada again. So I'm wondering, did he not bang any hookers this time, or did he not smoke the weed? So something was not in his favor in this last fight because he lost it by decision. So
it's actually the opposite for me. You know, the wife doesn't mind me smoking weed, but she don't want me banging hookers.
Banging of hookers.
Yeah.
What does Moose think about that?
We don't want to talk about Moose.
Kayfabe.
By the way, he's looking good. Woo!
Has he manscaped by any chance?
I don't know. I'll tweet him and ask him that.
Yeah, you should ask him that.
All right, Lance, this is the perfect spot to stop and talk about Manscaped. Get prepared for St. Patrick's Day with Manscaped if you're going to get a little lucky. Get it?
Woo!
Manscaped is a global leader for below-the-waist grooming and the official sponsor of Shooting a Shiznit to assure you have the best tools for your family jewels, visit Manscaped and use the code STSPOD for 20% off and free international shipping.
You are in luck because the Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Included in this package, there's a new package included as the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is not only waterproof, but it uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. It is not a 9 RPM. It is 9,000 RPM. So, look, I mean, we've talked about it. 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. I don't know what the fuck that other 21% is thinking, but why not use the best tools for the job here? The bundle also includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, your butt, your body. The three Bs, as I like to call them. So the third generation trimmer. So this means like my grandpa was using this too. Yep, I don't remember. Yep. But third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. You'll feel confident shaving your thunder down under, as it were.
Man, I'm going to tell you right here, before the wife finds out, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to put a shamrock. I'm putting a big shamrock in my pews, man. Oh, yes, for St. Patrick's Day. You and your partner will get lucky, all right. Their Lawnmower 3.0 will showcase your pot of gold like no other. Let's not forget their famous liquid formula. I love this stuff. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Get the performance package now to receive two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. The performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code STSPOD at manscaped.com. Also, every purchase of manscaped.com at manscaped.com goes toward... All right,
made to the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. So finally, after all of our jokes and goofiness, there's finally a charitable cause that comes out of this.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you for helping me out there. And I want to tell you guys, get 20% off and free shipping with the code STSPOD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Just use the STSPOD. There's gold at the end of the rainbow with Manscaped. Lance, I was with Mick Foley, buddy. I was with Mick Foley. I actually tweeted something on mistake to Moose. So on mistake. All right, go ahead. Let's get to number three.
All right, number three, we'll go with Tyler Rex has a gender reveal party. So former WWE superstar Tyler Rex, and a superstar. Yeah, I know. I use superstar loosely there. Tyler Rex is transitioned from male to female and is now Gabby Tuft. So signed by WWE in 2008, Tyler Rex and Kurt Hawkins wanted to do a male strippers act in WWE and got denied. He later quit in 2012 to spend more time with his wife and daughter. So, and now he has become Gabby Tuft altogether. So I saw the pictures of this guy, and good for him. We're not going to judge, if he's happy, God bless him. Good for him. Just, it's very Bruce Jenner-ish. The whole story comes across very Bruce Jenner-ish. The biggest weird thing to me is seeing him now. He's still a beefy, big, wrestling, burly-looking human being. And so for now, for this big dude to be known as Gabby and say that he is now a she is probably just the weirdest part of it for all of it for me. So, but yeah, happy, if he's happy, good for him.
I'm good. Yeah, that's the way. Happy, good for you. We don't care about that. We don't have no, we're not going to make it political. We support you if that's what you want to do. If you was one of our friends, that's, hey, do what you want to do kind of thing. Here's the funny thing is, if you were going to pick your name, Lance, this is my question. I wrote this down. If you're going to pick your name as a female, what would it be? What would your name be?
It would be Lana Lust, I think. There you Lana go. Lust. Lana Lust. Because that could be, I could do a drag show and be Lana Lust.
You know, I was going with Brianna. You know, I was going
with there Brianna. You go.
So there you
Brianna
go.
Brianna Tremelli. Didn't we discover her? There's a Brianna Tremelli on Skype that we almost
Where the hell? With. You know, the big thing I had a problem with, and it wasn't that he got a sex change, is that fucking name. Where did he come up with that? Gabby Tuff.
I believe his shoot name was Gabriel Tuft.
Oh, there we go. There
I'm pretty sure Tuft is his real last name, and his first name was Gabriel. So Gabriel, rather. So I think Gabby Tuft is just a knockoff.
I should have done my research on that. But.
So yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I get paid.
I appreciate that, man. So, I appreciate that.
All right, so should we move on to number two?
My hole.
The February 8th episode of Raw, Nia Jax goes for a leg drop on Lana on the ring apron, as John McAdam has told me, the hardest part of the ring. She misses and lands on her ass and makes a big production number out of it, yelling "my hole." It blows up immediately. I'm watching it live because I'm one of the masochists that watch Raw live on Monday nights, me and Bruce Mitchell. So, but what was interesting was the fallout, if you will, afterwards, because they deleted it from Hulu, because I think you said and I heard other people say that it wasn't on the next day on the Hulu broadcast. So they initially didn't want anything to do with it. They initially wanted to get rid of it. And then by Friday, it was made a joke of on SmackDown, and it became a running bit on Raw the following week. So they at that point, they embraced it. So I personally, having watched it, my take on it was that she didn't know that she was going to be mic'd that closely and was just saying something stupid to get the girls in the ring laughing. And I thought that it was a joke. It was mainly a joke for their on their behalf. And then all of a sudden they embraced it. And so I think that she just figured that the mics weren't going to pick her up, but they did. So I'm waiting for my whole shirts to be made. If that's part of the contest where you're giving away shirts and stuff, hopefully we have some my whole shirts. And then the final part of this was that the bidet company Tushy offers her a spot in their ads advertising for the bidet to clean her hull. So my hull at number two.
Oh my God. This do you mess?
There's got to be. I need this. A my hull shirt. I must have a my hull shirt. If you would have told me that I'd be buying a Nia Jax shirt in 2021, I would call you a liar. But I will buy one. If there's a my hull shirt on shop.com, I will be buying that.
I thought this was hilarious. I thought it was, you know, the same as when you did something that she probably said, "Oh shit!" Right after she did it, she should have kept her mouth shut and being so close. I thought it was funny. I laughed. You know, my whole and like you said, we're not big Nia Jax fans. I tried to defend her for years and say, "Well, I think she's good looking. She's going to improve, and she's what do you like? A piece of garbage? That's what she is."
Yeah,
in the ring. No. What do you call them? Big people, you call them
OMs, obese monstrosity.
There I mean, go.
She just can't wrestle. I don't give a shit what
she
looks
she
like.
Can't she can't wrestle. She's a beautiful girl, but she
we've
can't
said
wrestle.
It a million times. There's been Viper. There's been Jessica Havoc. There's been other big girls that can definitely wrestle. There's been a lot of the Japanese, but I'm like, dude, you can't wrestle. Get the fuck out of my ring. I don't care what you look like. So, all right, at number one, our top story for the month of February at the WTF news desk is Stan Lane's daughter, or cousin, or niece. We don't know. So story surfaces.
Hold on. This was in Arkansas, right?
Yeah, I believe it was. Well, Florida. Florida. I think it was Florida, actually. So story surfaced on February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, that Stan Lane, famous, you know, legendary member of the Midnight Express, Stan Lane, maybe the father and the Fabs. That's right. Yep. What did you used to call him when you were little? The fabulous ones.
Yeah, we're
not going there. Okay. Yeah. Tyler Rex. Stan Lane may be the father of Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. So she was born in 1993. He lived in Florida in 1993. She was born in Florida. So that doesn't necessarily tie it all together. But there's other connections where they think that he is the father of this woman who is now a Colorado Congresswoman. The mother in question is Stan Lane's cousin.
First cousin.
The claims had apparently been out there for years, and it's been common knowledge. But now it came to surface because this Lauren Boebert, the congresswoman, is a radical right-wing extremist gun nut in Congress. So it has gotten even more weird whether, you know, is he her father? Her, you know, is she the niece, the cousin, the nephew, whatever? We don't know. The daughter, we don't know what the story is. But Stan Lane's daughter, the congresswoman, the right-wing extremist gun nut at number one.
Well, you know, Lance, you know, Southern people, we do things a little different than you guys.
A little different, yeah.
A little bit. Midwest, you're a Midwest guy, and, you know, you do things in the South. You get about Midwest, you start changing, and you get up North, they don't do things like this. But this is just normal. But the rule is, Stan, and I'm going to look him in the cameras. Stan, you can't fuck your first cousin, okay? Nope. Maybe your second cousin, but not your first cousin. So that's the rule.
I wonder if she has three eyeballs and like three left feet or something.
I don't know. I told you I've got to make the Arkansas joke, and I live in Arkansas. I had to make the Arkansas. I said, this is going to be, if this is not number one, give me the story because I want to know. It's one of those things also, though, that it makes you wonder whether there's any truth to it. Possibility there could be because, I mean, he probably – you know, everything that walked when he was a Fabs and Midnight Express, he's a good looking man. Yep. So who knows what was going on, but he totally ignores this too. He doesn't put it over at all. He's not going on social media and saying blah, blah, blah. So big thumbs up to you, Stan, and your wife. If you see Stan Lane right now, he's got a little receding hairline. But man, him and his wife are beautiful people. And so this woman is not bad looking either. So, you know,
she's an attractive congresswoman. Yeah. So Stan Lane's wife or his cousin? Which is it?
Oh, no, his wife's a good looking.
Oh, his real wife.
Yeah, okay. His real wife. Not his cousin. So I haven't seen his cousin.
So and you said you were, you know, you're in Arkansas. I grew up in Florida, so I can make all the Florida jokes, too. My mom still lives in Florida, so I can tell it like it is about Florida being hillbilly central as well.
All right, guys. We are going to go to Patreon only, and if you're listening to this, what you need to do is subscribe for $3, and you'll get our honorable mention show, and we will sit there and talk about – we got a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about, some funny stuff. Couldn't even get to. We don't want to sit here forever. We're going to go off video now, and the only way to get the honorable mentions is you actually have to subscribe to Patreon. So as I always say, same bad time, same bad channel, and the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there! And as everyone knows, and Lance knows, I love my mama.
And as everyone knows, the Tournament of Junk is coming up in a couple weeks. Follow me on Twitter, @ChocolatierLL. You can vote in the Tournament of Junk. You'll win prizes there, too. And I have fun everywhere I go.
Did you enjoy that episode? Cash App us, that's right. $BTSTS. Cash App us, $1, $2. If you Cash App us over $12, I'll give you 1 year of Patreon for free.
Graphic design is very important. Your logo is the first image potential customers see. What kind of impression would you want to make today? Need a podcast logo or a t-shirt design? KT does art. Her name has become synonymous with quality and professionalism in the graphic design community. She specializes in graphic design, painting, and more. She provides affordable commissions and professional quality with a timely delivery. Contact KT via email at KT_does_art@yahoo.com. Check out her Instagram at Instagram.com/KT_does_art.
Hey, that was another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. We're currently looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever Championship 2021. A shout out to our sponsors this month. And also, we have Patreon. It is only $1 at www.patreon.com/shootingtheshiznit without a G. A big thank you and a shout out to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling Between the Sheets and Gene Jackson at localstolegends.com. You can reach us on Twitter at comicbookmarkBT, Instagram BT Shooting the Shiznit without a G, Facebook Shooting the Shiznit with a G, and we're also at Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk. You gotta ask to get in. If we don't like you, we'll kick you out. That's right. And you can get all the archives to all the episodes at www.stspod.club. All right, let's do a roll call of my favorite podcast. So my favorite non-wrestling podcast would be Who's Right Podcast, Poor Boys Podcast, The Official Podcast, Man Brain Podcast, My favorite murder podcast, I Am Fat Podcast. And my buddies over there, Richard Josh at P3 Radio. Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. And remember, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.